Good morning, Minnesota State Fair. How's everybody doing this morning? Got a nice crowd on hand.
It's a nice crowd. Wow.
Good to be with you, buddy. How are you?
I knew you were coming back.
I guess so. No, I'm glad. I want to start the show with this. So the crowds are intense today, first of all, for a Sunday morning, right?
Yeah.
It's the weather because it's nice this week. So I took the bus in from Chaska because it's so easy on Southwest Metro Transit. It's so easy on Southwest Transit. And the line is throughout, like all the way back in the bus corral.
Oh, yeah.
Right? This is the difference, though, between being Dave Schwartz and being Pete Najarian.
That's not true.
Pete, tell me how you got in. So you were backed up at the lot, right?
I was backed up at the lot.
And he says to the guy, I got to get in for my show.
I got to get in for the show.
And the guy said to you?
He waved me
he
in.
He said, go ahead. I'm in line 7,500 people deep. Excuse me, ma'am. I have a show on WCCO Radio. Yeah, the line's moving.
Well, just lucky. Just lucky. That was good, though.
Yeah. It's all in good fun. It's all good fun. Well, good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Everybody looks
good.
Great, man.
It's great. It's a cool day.
This is my fifth time so
fifth,
far.
That's down for
which
you.
Which is down for me. I'm usually 8 of the 10, but yeah. I'm this is number 5 for me coming out here. I'll tell you, there's so many good things. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
what's
goodness.
The best thing you've eaten so far?
From the sweet side, over here at the University of Minnesota, they have the B area.
Yes.
Like B-E-E, B
yep,
area.
Yep.
And they have ice cream with honey
ooh.
And peanut butter mixed together. It's
ooh.
Almost like a caramel that they drizzle on top of it. It
oh,
is absolutely
good.
The best thing you could possibly
it's almost
eat.
Healthy because it's got honey in it.
And I'm not a huge sweets guy, but
yeah.
that was really, really good. I've eaten just about everything. I mean, I literally, in those 5 trips, man, it just... And right across from us, Mancini's.
Mancini's is
the
great.
Best breakfast at the fair.
Well, I can smell it.
Oh, my goodness.
We're
steak
getting,
and eggs.
We're getting smells of steak and eggs mixed with Sweet Martha's cookies.
Yeah,
which
she
I
brought us a whole tub of them last Sunday.
Last year. My buddy Gary, who works over at Sweet Martha's, usually, I don't know if he's there this morning. If you're there, hello, Gary. And we love the cookies, as always. You know what? It's been a beautiful last couple days here. A little
perfect.
Hot. But now, nice and cool today,
mm-hmm.
kind of get us out of the funk a little bit yeah. of what was a really just a kind of a nasty loss
yeah.
for the Gophers.
The loss was bad.
Week.
The weather was bad. It
weather
pushed
was
it
horrible.
Back an
yep.
hour. It was floods out here on Thursday
oh
and Friday.
You
and
almost didn't
stuff.
Even go to the game.
I literally, at about 7 o'clock, I said, you know what? I looked at my son. I said, as much as I want to go, I don't think we're going to go.
Yeah.
And so he texted me like 3 times. Like that's what kids do inside the house, of course. But I'm sitting downstairs. I'm getting ready to watch, you know. And I'm already watching some of the other games that are already on. And I said, let's, you know what, with between the weather and the mm-hmm. fact that I got to get up really early to the next day, Friday, I was doing Fox Business with Maria Bartiromo, just mm-hmm. talking about the markets and talk about NVIDIA and all the things that everybody wanted to talk about
yeah.
this week. And so I was like, let's just take a pass. He texts me. He goes, are you sure? 15 minutes later, he goes, are you positive? The third time he texted me, I go, you know what? No, we're going to go. Let's get in the car. It's 7:45. The two of us get in the car. There is no traffic going to the Gopher
Nothing.
Stadium. Nothing.
What a charmed life you live.
No,
you have a different road the rest of us?
There was, well, it's because it was the late start. Everybody
yeah,
already
yeah.
tailgated. Everybody did
yep.
all the things that they
yep.
do. That crowd was excited. It was awesome. I was so pumped for this
yeah.
thing. And I was lucky enough to get an opportunity to be down there on the sidelines looking at the athletes at North Carolina are unbelievable.
They're good. That running back's
line,
legit.
That running back
yeah.
is great. The quarterback was okay, you
yeah.
know, but that's a fill-in from last year with Drake May.
Right.
And there was some ups and some downs. That
yeah.
interception from Wally was right in front of me.
Yeah.
And I was
great
watching. That
too.
Kid is such an athlete. Gosh, he's...
Yeah.
He's somewhere in the upper rounds. I mean, he might be a first rounder or a second rounder, but he is a really amazing football player. So.
I thought the defense was pretty good.
Yeah,
especially Joyner and the guy on the other side. The defense.
Stigham, end. I think his
yeah.
name is, or something.
Stigham. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they
yeah.
were they put
nice, Charlie.
They put pretty good pressure on. I thought.
Yeah.
I know you watch the defense. I always watch the offense. I
watch both, man.
I wanted to see, and I'm not making any assumptions yet on Max Brosmer's
right.
long-term future.
Yeah.
And we were I was texting you during the game. I'm like, let the kid get into a rhythm. Please let him get into a rhythm. He didn't get into a rhythm. He didn't have a lot of time.
Right.
The one thing, that the real bright spot that I took was after the fumble that he had, he comes back out. I actually thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, on his last drive, that last drive, I actually thought he looked better than he did the rest of the game.
He did.
He looked poised. Mm-hmm. And to me, I went, okay, the kid can handle a little bit of pressure, right? Right. It's the first game. He's still trying to figure out the Big Ten. You can't come from New Hampshire and fall right into the Big Ten, I don't think.
I don't think
and
so.
And it's not the same. And they kept talking about that in the broadcast. It's a completely different thing.
Yeah. I will tell you this. If I had one major disappointment, I'm the first guy to get blamed because I said our offensive line looks great.
Yeah.
They're big. They're strong. They're aggressive. They're everything you'd want in an offensive line anywhere in the country. I don't care if you're talking about Michigan, Ohio State, USC, whoever. I was that excited about our offensive line. We gave up 5 sacks.
Yeah.
How do we give up 5 sacks if our offensive line is as good as I'd like it to be?
He just didn't have a lot of time.
No.
He was trying to run out of the pocket the entire time. I mean, he had happy feet.
Yep.
And, by the way, you're way more big of a football mind than I am. Can anyone explain to me why the heck they went to that hash for Kesich to kick the game-winning field goal when he had already missed one, I think, from that hash? Why? Go up the gut. Don't go to the right.
And what people don't understand about college football versus the NFL a lot of the time, it's just something that gets lost.
Yeah.
But where are the hash marks in college? Where are they in the NFL? They're completely different. They're wider.
Yep.
And that does make a difference, to your point, on when you're put. Now, I'm not going to give anybody excuses. Sometimes you just got to come through.
Yeah.
And this is one of the better kickers, I think, in the country.
Yep.
That can't happen. So, and we missed twice, right?
Yeah.
During the game. So that's, I feel bad for him, of course, but that's his job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say it, but there was an old line that Lou Holtz had when I played at the University of Minnesota, and he said, look, Pete, if it was up to me, we'd never have kickers or punters. They're not going to travel with the team. They're going to go on a bus. We're going to go in the airplane, and they'll meet us there, and then we'll send them back. But that was the frustration that he'd had over all those years of coaching was the kickers and the punters. There's just that moment that they have to come through, you got to come through.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it.
And Pete, with Kesich here, with how mental the kicking game is, are you concerned going forward with Kesich?
I'm not concerned because I think this was an anomaly. Was it pressure? Maybe. Was it, a long game? To some degree it was, because you go there expecting the game to kick off at 7 and you push it back to 8. I played in a couple games like that. There was Lightning one year when we were down playing against Rice. It was the only win we had that year in 1983. We did beat them, but it throws you off. You're in the locker room. You're ready to do your routine, and nothing is routine. Everything has changed. So I just think that it was just unfortunate for us. That was the night that we had. Nothing went terrible, but nothing really went great either.
I hear you, both of your points, that he's got to he's got one job, right? He's got to make that field goal. However, there are 10 other guys on the field, 11 if he's not on the field, that have to do their job.
Yep.
The offensive line did not give Brosmer enough time.
No.
He shouldn't have fumbled
right
at that time. I mean, the Brockington pass that popped out, I mean, that was just sheer good luck.
Yeah.
It never – I've always said – football and all sports, it's a cascading game, right? It's a domino. One domino has to hit, the next one has to hit, the next one, and it's the next one. It's never that one play. I never say that it's just a kicker. That all being said, he probably should have made it. But it's the entire game.
Yeah.
I mean, that running back, the kid from North Carolina.
He's great. Hampton.
He was just Hampton. He just, the third quarter, they just rode him. I mean, and they could not stop him.
That was another huge disappointment for me.
Yeah.
I went in thinking our defensive line might be the best defensive line we've had in a lot of years.
Yeah.
I mean, like 20 years, 30 years, something like that. And I love our two outside guys. I like the inside guys. They got a lot of size. We've got two big linebackers. The linebackers played well.
Yeah.
The D-line was not doing a great job of keeping the offensive linemen off of them, though, and that's why they were able to run the ball. The fact that they ran the ball as well as they did, I think, is a little bit scary for me, because North Carolina is very good. They aren't Ohio State.
Nope.
They're certainly not Michigan. They're not Penn State. They're not any of those top-tier guys that are
in
the Big Ten right now. And that would be a concern, I think, for a lot of us, because they've got to get better fast.
Yep.
They cannot play a game the way that defensive line played. As good as they should be, they didn't play up to where they are at all, I didn't think.
Yeah, while you're right, I mean, that running back is an NFL running back.
He's
great. That is an All-American 100%. Running back that will be in the NFL at some point going forward. And, all said and done, though, you look at that game as a whole. The Gophers deserve to win that game, right? They outplayed North Carolina. overall during that game. Listen, they didn't play great, but North Carolina was bad that game.
It was, to me, it was very much, was it Nebraska of last year where they won on the late field goal?
Yeah.
It was the same game, only this time Kesich missed the field goal.
I'm glad you brought up Nebraska, because when we come back after we go out, we got to talk about the Big Ten.
The Big Ten.
And I'll tell you what, some unbelievable, but you know, you got to compare it against who they're playing for. But you know what? You know what North Carolina did against us? They were Gopher football.
Mm-hmm.
They ran 41 times. They ran the ball and ran the ball and ran the ball because they were having success. They were getting almost 4 yards a carry. And so you give up 147 yards, that's a problem on defense. You can't do that.
They also, listen, the starting running back wasn't there, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, that makes a big difference
that's a big
also.
Difference.
Makes a huge difference in this game. So really quick, show of hands who are here. The Gophers, they lose their first game. We all know this. Are you out already? Is the season done? Raise your hand.
Oh, come on,
thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Who still thinks this team's got a chance for the Rose Bowl this year? There we go.
I'm with all of you on that.
Row the boat, Sky Umag, go Gophers. We'll talk more Gophers coming up next. Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press is going to join us. We will chat with him and talk a little more Gopher football. You're listening to The Huddle live from the State Fair. Sweet Martha's Cookies. Gary's here. Thank you.
It's the best cookie ever.
Oh, so good.
It really is.
I forgot, like.
Sweet Martha's the best.
Man, if Andy Greeter was here. Well, he could have a cookie with us.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Greeter, Pioneer Press, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Andy, good morning.
Morning. Is that your way of guilting me right out of the gate?
I don't know why you're not here, man. I swear to you, you know, we ask you to come out here. Yeah,
probably
sit up
I
on
asked
the
him
front.
Last night at like 8 o'clock. I'm like, hey, do you have time to come out? Andy, we've been talking a little bit about the game already, how it felt like this was it was a good game, but just kind of not enough. After the game, I know PJ, you know, he kind of has his party line of, well, you know, we didn't have enough plays. We didn't have, you know, we didn't do enough things right. But in terms of how they rebound from this and what needs to happen, obviously Rhode Island is not the same foe of North Carolina's caliber. But if you could pick one or two things, or he picked one or two things that really need to be made, be fixed immediately, what are those things?
I would say penalties. I think that was a huge factor. I think when you looked at the five penalties that they had, I think three of them were on North Carolina offensive drives that kept them alive, and they got 10 points out of those three penalties over two drives. So that was just back. I thought they did a pretty good job overall. Obviously, Omarion Hampton is one of the best running backs in the nation, and he was able to break some tackles and have over a 100-yard day. But they took pretty much everything else away from them outside of those penalties. I think that's probably the biggest thing. It needs to be cleaned up, and I think they need to be more sound on the offensive line. You know, they didn't block things very well on some of the run scheme stuff that they did, and new quarterback Max Grossmer was sacked five times, which is a very rare thing for this Gopher team to be allowing that many sacks.
Andy, is there any chance that we do a shakeup at all? I know it's only game one, and we're the only Big Ten team to play a real team for the most part.
Right.
So, you know, I think that has to be said as well, because everybody else is playing teams with a lot of directions in their name, you know, Southwest Missouri State and stuff like that. But,
sure.
Andy, as far as the offensive line, I was really disappointed because I came into this year, I've said it on the radio a lot, this is a big, strong, we should be able to lean on this offensive line, not just for running, but for throwing. Give up five sacks. How do we give up five sacks? What is it about our offensive line that they just couldn't step up to the plate?
Yeah, I think it was probably their number two position group, second strongest position group outside of the D-line going into this year. They returned 80% of their starts from a year ago. But Martez Lewis was playing guard last year. Now he's playing tackle. I thought he had a really poor game at right tackle. Yeah, I wonder if Phillip Daniels, who is a young player who the Gophers are really high on, he hasn't played yet for the Gophers. So I think throwing him at right tackle against North Carolina was probably be a bit of a stretch, and they wanted to go with a guy that had a lot more experience. While that sort of backfired on him, I wouldn't be surprised if Phillip Daniels plays some against Rhode Island this coming weekend, just because I like him, and I think they do need to mix things up, and they need to have a bit of a rotation and find a better answer at right tackle. It's been something that's been a problem for them for a number of years. You know, Quinn Carroll had been there for the previous 2 years, but he's better at guard, and they made a full-time switch to play him at guard because they feel like that's, like I said, his best spot and where he projects to play at the next level. but right tackle continues to be a problem for them. And we certainly saw that on Saturday night.
You know, Andy, you said exactly what I wanted to ask you, and just a quick follow-up on that. I didn't want to jump on Dave or anything, but Philip Daniels, everything I know about him, and I've been at practice and seen what he does, he needs to be on the field. I like the grit that guy shows. He reminds me of Joe Alt, not necessarily at that level. I'm not saying that, but he reminds me because he comes with anger. He's a guy who's going to hit you in the back a little bit, but it's still going to be legal, but he's going to go downfield and make blocks 20 yards downfield. He's that kind of a guy. I think he needs to be on the field. I really do. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I do think he needs to be at least part of the rotation. I think, you know, when you look at it last year, you know, Greg Johnson, who's now the starting center, and he played most of the year last year, but it took him a little while before he got up and running. You look at Darius Taylor last year, you know, he didn't play. I think he maybe had one carry in the Nebraska game in last year's season opener, and then he started to get his feet underneath him, and then he started to play a little bit more. So I wonder if Philip Daniels will kind of be in that same mold because, yes, he's not afraid to mix it up, to get a little feisty, to play with a little bit of an edge. I did a story about some of the off-field things that the Gophers were doing last year, and I got to interview Philip for that story. You know, the Gophers are pretty guarded about letting freshmen speak to the media, but he was a very impressive young man. He was very caring and giving in his time to a Gopher fan who has disabilities who was on the program. So, you know, it's probably that great mix of a type of guy, you know, where you're kind off it and you're mean on it.
Andy Greener joining us from the Pioneer Press. Andy, I have two quick ones for you. First of all, Darius Taylor, I know it was said that he was close. Do we see him next week or not?
Yeah, you know, I'm working on a story about that right now because I wonder where that's going to go because obviously Rhode Island is an FCS level school, and after that is Nevada, and they're 1-1. They had to come back from 14 down against Troy yesterday. They're picked to finish last in the Mountain West. So he's believed to have a hamstring injury. It's also what cost him half of the year last year. As you guys know, hamstring injuries can be pretty persnickety and can be prone to being aggravated. So you kind of want to be cautious with him given his injury history and looking forward to who they have on the schedule the next 2 weeks. And then after that, the Big Ten season starts with the Iowa Hawkeyes coming to Huntington Bank Stadium. So I wonder how much he's going to go over these next 2 weeks. Do you want to kind of have him get some reps, have him get hit a few times, be tackled to kind of get ready and ready for what's going to be a very difficult Buckeye defense? Or do you, you know, kind of put him in bubble wrap for the next 2 weeks and make sure that hamstring is good and ready to go? I think Marcus Major did pretty well in his time, the Oklahoma transfer. So I think that there's, you know, something there to kind of rely on over these next weeks. So I think that's going to be one of the big questions is truly how close was he? You know, PJ Fleck is not the most, you know, to borrow a literary phrase, most reliable narrator when it comes to injuries. So when he says really close, how close does that mean? And how much is he willing to put him out there as they round out non-conference play?
I wouldn't. I would keep him in bubble wrap for the next 2 weeks. My only other question is, and we talked about this last segment with Max Brosmer, was his performance, I think you can characterize as inconsistent throughout the game. Was that because of the adjustment and just kind of seeing Big Ten football for the first time? Or as we had talked about, did the offensive line just not give him the time that he deserved?
I think it's a combination of both. I that first third down throw that he had across the middle, the tight end Jamison Gears, he kind of airmailed that one. I think you can really chalk that up. He had time to be able to throw that ball, and I just think kind of the stage that he's on, I think he's talked about it as well. You know, we talked to him, you know, when we were out at the fair, you know, last Thursday, and he talked about kind of learning about what the environment, you know, when we were out at the fair, you know, last Thursday, and he talked about kind of learning about what the environment's going to be like, that's not being just watching a YouTube video, right? Obviously, he's coming from the FCS level, so it's a big jump for him. So I think it's pretty understandable to have some nerves, but yeah, I think when you're sacked and you're pressured and you're having tip balls due to the issues that you have along the offensive line, that's not going to be a good position for a quarterback to be in. But I think he was better when they played with some tempo late in the game. I wonder if that's going to be something that that they try to incorporate a little bit more. I think anybody that's watched PJ Fleck knows how much he cares about time of possession. So I don't know how realistic that's going to be, but I think he started to settle in. I think he'll be able to kind of get his feet underneath him over these next couple of weeks and kind of iron out some of the issues that he has and come into this level. Because like Pete talked about, you know, there was a lot of Big Ten games here this week, and the Gophers probably had the stiffest competition of any of them. And I saw a number of Big Ten teams struggle. I saw Wisconsin have their issues against Western Michigan until Western Michigan had a muffed punt. Iowa was struggling the first half against Illinois State. And there were Michigan State was struggling as well. So there were issues around the Big Ten that were kind of against lower level competition. So when you look at the Gophers, even though it was sloppy, and even though they weren't able to get it done, I think you really have to take into account that it was a legitimate opponent, and those are some of the things that you have to iron out in the first game, because there's no preseason, there's no real kind of scrimmages on another color, and you kind of have to deal with some of the unsightliness in these opening games against quality foes.
Unsightliness is a good characteristic of that game. Andy, thanks so much, man. We appreciate the time. I'll save some of these Sweet Martha's cookies for you next time I see you.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, we'll take a quick break, come back. We got the fast break. It's the Huddle Live from the Minnesota State Fair.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is time for the fast break from the Minnesota State Fair. Everyone's here. We got a cast of thousands in attendance, although they're getting smaller. Oop, hey, oop. Bud, thank you for eating our cookies. We appreciate it. Better you than me. The lines are long for photos with Pete Najarian.
Yeah, that whole break was just Pete.
I'm going to start charging $5.
Hey, I was watching it the whole time, Pete. What are you talking about?
It's all in good. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I'm glad that people.
Well, that's nice.
I'm glad people like. It's awesome. It's fun. I just sit here and eat cookies and get paid for it.
Yeah,
Charlie.
All right.
What do you got?
Fast break, baby.
Pete, we're gonna start out with you. We've already talked about that rough loss from the Gophers.
Yeah.
We've hit that quite a bit. I'm going to hit a little bit more here, but a little different angle. I asked you this question last week about the Vikings, all right? The Vikings and Sam Darnold. I don't know if you remember this. I asked you, is Sam Darnold going to be starting every single game for the Vikings? And your answer was no.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold is not going to start every game for the Vikings this year.
Right.
Pete, I'm going to go over the Gophers here. One game, we've seen Max Brosmer. Barring injury, is Max Brosmer going to be the Gophers starting quarterback for every game this season?
I'm going to say yes, and my rationale behind the yes is I still think he's the kid we thought he was. Did he have a great game? No. Did he have a terrible game? I say no. I thought that 62% completion, he moved the ball around a little bit. I still say this, and I've said it forever, and you've heard me. Dave's tired of hearing me say this, but I'm telling you, I love PJ, but the play calling oftentimes bothers me so much. And I'll say this, and I was just talking to a guy who was the head coach at Columbia. He was the head coach at Connecticut. He's done a lot of coaching around the NFL. He was at Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him every week, I'd say, throw the ball to the tight end. By the way, the guy that I always wanted the ball thrown to, Span Ford, he's playing for the Dallas Cowboys
made
now.
Team, made
and we didn't throw him the ball.
No, you're right.
So they're always open, and I think they will be open. They need to open up for him the passing lanes. And when they do that, he'll be the starter.
So that was going to be my follow-up question. Okay. Who is at more risk? Is it Greg Harbaugh of losing play-calling duties, or is it Max Brosmer of losing quarterbacking duties?
Oh, I would say that the play-calling for me, and I was literally on the field right next to your dad.
Yeah,
and I was standing down there, and I was watching the play-calling, and it bothered me. We just don't seem to have we have the horses. We just got to let the horses run.
Yes.
And we're not doing that right now. I thought our backup running back stepped up and did a great job. The kid from Oklahoma, everybody had been talking about Darius. We love Darius, but mm-hmm. I thought that our
Major,
backup running
yeah.
back, Major, I thought he did a great job. I mean, his yards per carry, what he did, he looked athletic. I thought he looked good. So I'm still encouraged. I wouldn't be discouraged from us losing to North Carolina.
Listen, Brosmer's the guy, right? I mean, even a guy who's coming from an FCS school like New Hampshire is probably more well-adjusted to the college game than a Drake Lindsey who's coming out of high school.
Certainly.
As much as I love to see Drake Lindsey in the future, number one. Number two, they didn't give him enough time, and I think we've already discussed that. And I've said this to you, and I was texting you the other night.
Yeah.
Throw the ball. You got to let the kid get into a rhythm. You cannot run the ball 40 times the first three quarters of the game and then expect the kid to be in a rhythm in the fourth. But you know what? Brosmer was in the rhythm in the fourth. He actually looked better in the fourth in that last drive of the game. So I'm still encouraged, despite the play calling, which has to change. It has got to. You stop trying to mold the quarterback to the system. Mold the system to the quarterback. Please.
Last thing, real quick. Raiola from Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
Number one kid coming out last year. Now he's a freshman. Started his first game at Nebraska. That does not happen. That doesn't happen, except for the fact that this kid looks like Patrick Mahomes already. That's what he looks like physically, and he throws the ball like Patrick Mahomes.
I said that last year, but I think
this one's more of a real
deal.
It is notable. If you're watching college football all day Saturday and you're watching the Gopher game on Thursday, just the scheming that goes on to get a player open down the field.
Yep.
There's just no it feels like when the Gophers are on offense, the defense has an extra man.
Right.
Every play, it feels like there's an extra man in the secondary.
He doesn't have a cannon. I mean,
doesn't matter.
And as much as we're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders, I know at some point, and as I think they beat
overrated
up on a lesser team, the kid still has a cannon.
Come on now.
Sanders has a cannon. I mean, the kid can sling it.
He's an athlete, yeah.
Yes,
he's special.
All right.
He is special.
All right, we'll move on.
All right, what are we talking?
Dave, welcome back. By the way, any FOMO from last week? Because, Pete's wife isn't here. She brought a smorgasbord of food.
I don't know
if you know this.
I was waiting. She's not bringing us food today.
She's in Florida. It's going to be tough.
All right. Smart for her.
Well, you swindled your way into a bucket of cookies here.
I did. I only had to ask once.
Yeah, only once. They came right over, bucket of cookies for all the fans.
How about that?
We're through a week of college football now.
Yes.
Pretty much all the way through. I think there's a couple of games left today. You had some really good teams and some not so good teams. Georgia dominated Clemson.
Oh.
I mean, absolutely dominated Clemson. Yep. Clemson looked horrible. Yep. Texas cleaned up Colorado State, who was not terrible last year.
No.
Colorado State was not a bad team.
No.
So winning 52-0, that's going to be a fun game in Michigan next week with Michigan versus Texas. We also saw impressive wins out of Penn State, Nebraska, and Ohio State in the Big Ten. Little bit of a I think this is probably going to be an easy question for you, Dave. Who is in the Big Ten championship come December?
Oh, jeez.
We're through a week. You've seen them all now.
I mean,
we've seen them on the field.
Come on now.
I didn't get to watch college football all day Saturday because I was traveling. I know excuses. I honestly don't know yet. I mean, I'd say maybe. I honestly couldn't even tell you who at this point.
Right. Pete's the guy that's been
watching. Go, Pete, go. I didn't get to see all the games yesterday.
There is no doubt. You're saying in the championship game for the Big Ten.
Big Ten championship, yep.
100% Ohio State.
Is it Ohio State?
Potentially Penn State. I really like what we've seen out of
Michigan.
Penn State. They're close. Michigan, probably not. I don't see any of the teams that came from the Pac-12 being in there. So Washington, maybe. But they're a different Washington, obviously, than they were last year with Penix, the receivers, and all the rest of it. So I'd say Ohio State, Penn State really have the leg up. I'll give you a sleeper just to keep an eye on. Indiana.
Oh, really?
They're not going to be in the championship game, but I'll tell you. Indiana,
it's a big win over Florida International.
Yeah.
They have some horses. They lose them usually. But every once in a while, that team shows up. And I'm not saying they're going to the championship game. keep an eye on Indiana. They are not a walkover. You're not just going to have them on the, oh, that's a win.
Yeah. The state of Indiana from yesterday, from Saturday, though, Purdue looked
Purdue,
really good.
The quarterback.
Yeah, Purdue looked
threw
Hudson
all
guard.
Over the place.
How about
Purdue
Rutgers?
Was rather good.
Eighth and Calliac Madison, Rutgers.
He lit it up.
Howard.
He was so bad. He wasn't even that good.
I mean, Howard barely got out of the state high school championship, for crying out loud.
I'm a little surprised. I mean, Oregon did not look good against Idaho.
No.
I'll give you that. But most people are picking, I think, Oregon, Ohio State are the odds-on favorites.
Yeah.
If you're a betting man, I think those are one and two. Dave, no, we're just.
I mean, I'll say Ohio State. I mean,
Ohio State, easy.
That's an easy one, that's right? Easy. I mean, they put up.
Nobody's saying Michigan, though. I mean, Pete, you can't, of course.
I like. No. I like what they've got at Michigan. I really do, but they've lost a lot, too.
Yeah, I don't think
they lost a lot.
Yeah.
Isn't their quarterback a walk on? Wasn't he a walk on now?
Warren, I don't know if he was a walk on.
I think I was reading an article that he was not a walk on at some point.
Something along those lines. All right, Pete, we're going straight back to you. This is an all Pete edition, almost, it seems. From one level,
I'm just
going to
eat cookies.
Yeah, one level of football to another. The Vikings are starting their season on Saturday. A couple of early games also on Thursday. I think Baltimore is playing. But the Vikings on Saturday, or on Sunday. Did I say Saturday?
You said Saturday, but Sunday.
It's Sunday,
we got
of course.
You. We got you.
NFL football Sunday now. They're going to be taking on the New York football Giants, I believe, in New York week one. Obviously, we're going to be watching the quarterback situation. We're going to be watching how Darnold is. We'll be watching some of those new defensive players. But, Pete, what are you really focusing on the first game? Maybe that isn't that quarterback situation.
Yeah, that's tough because the quarterbacks are what's going to be the difference maker in this one. And I think when you look at the Giants quarterback, he showed us something that is exactly who he is. He is athletic as they get. He also got tackled by the turf monster after having a phenomenal run out of the quarterback spot.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Daniel Jones. So
he's always Daniel
but
Jones.
He's athletic, and I think that if the Giants make a little bit of a step forward, we're going to be in a little trouble. But I think it does come down to Sam Darnold. How does he get the offense moving? I'm still worried about our defense, guys. I know the world thinks that our defense is great. They love, you know, Brian Flores and all the different crazy things that he does. I still stand by the fact that they've got to prove it to me because they're still a middle of the road to lower type of defense, in my opinion.
As a linebacker, there's nothing Pete hates more than a 3-4 defense.
I hate it. You're so right. Charlie knows me, man.
Yeah.
Hates that 3-4 defense. Dave, go ahead.
I want to see Aaron Jones. I kind of want to see what he has and what is, I guess, what is left. He's a little bit older, but I think that's going to help Sam Darnold the most is if they can establish a run so that he can get the ball out a little bit. We still haven't seen what Sam Darnold can do with Justin Jefferson.
Right.
So I'm excited to see that. But more than anything, I kind of just want to see if they can get the run game going. I'm super pumped to see Jonathan Grenard play, too.
Yes.
I mean, holy cow, the defensive line.
And Cashman.
There's a lot of fun guys.
Absolutely.
A lot of fun guys there. By the way, speaking of Justin Jefferson, did you guys see rumors going around that they reshot the iconic Randy Moss, Kevin Garnett's photo shoot with Justin Jefferson and
Anthony Edwards? That's a great call if they did.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Rumor is it happened last week, and we'll be seeing results before long. But
I love it.
Who's
That's
to
great.
Say?
I love it.
Follow-up. I may be a week early.
Yes.
They win in week one. Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Daniel Jones is going to find a way to Daniel Jones it up, I'm sure of it.
That's the big concern I would have if I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Vikings fan, but I still would say it comes down probably more to Daniel Jones than it does even Darnold, I think, quite honestly.
What else do they have? Saquon Barkley's gone.
They were 7-11 last year.
This team's not a great football team. It's not as upgraded.
I don't think so.
All right. We better win.
We'll finish this one up here real quick. Dave.
Yes.
3.5 back, 3.5 up. That's the Twins playoff situation right now.
What the heck happened?
3.5 back of the Central, 3.5 up on the wild card, above the Red Sox, below the Royals and the Cleveland Guardians. Injuries a concern. Pitching recently, Zebby Matthews had a tough night last night. If you watch any of it, but he's a rookie. It was his third start.
I mean,
it's tough to.
That was his fourth start, right?
Fourth start. Yeah.
I mean, that's the time where you have as a starter, you have that dip,
he's
right?
He's a rookie.
They've seen you now.
It
Sorry,
happens.
I don't want to take away the question. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, it's not unexpected that those things are going to happen.
Right.
Happen with Festa as well. I still think that those guys are going to be part of the rotation long term. Everybody has a bad start, particularly rookies. My question, though. After losing some ground in the last couple weeks, I shouldn't say they lost ground. They really kind of, even though they lost quite a bit the last 2 weeks, they really haven't lost that much ground. 3.5 games is kind of where it's been. 2 to 3 games is where they've been for quite a while. So my question is, should this team still be in the playoffs with the way that they are right now?
I do. I mean, they still have correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been gone for a week, but Buxton's, is he still out?
Still out.
He's still out, right?
Yep.
I mean, Correa's still out.
Yep. Still out.
Those are huge pieces. Joe Ryan's, I mean, we're not going to, I don't think he's coming. He's not coming back. He's
done. Out for the regular season.
Regular season. I mean, you can hope, but I still think that they're a playoff team. I'm still on the Zebby Matthews train. Like, I bought a front row ticket. Put me in there. The third and fourth time through, like, it's always tough. So how does he respond? Pablo Lopez has been outstanding for the most part this month.
Second half, after the All-Star break, he's got a 2.3 ERA.
I mean, and you know this more than anybody, you only need two or three really great starters in the postseason, and you're fine.
You got Ober, you got Pablo Lopez.
And if you get Zebby or somebody else to kind of fill in that spot, then you're in good shape. So I think if they can get healthy, yes, they're a legitimate playoff contender. If Correa and Buxton aren't available, then it's a coin flip.
Yeah, I think the most difficult thing, and I would just say this, is we've got to beat a team with a winning record. Until we beat somebody with a winning record in a series, that's a problem.
All right, guys, that's all I got for you today. We ran it a little long. We always do that a little bit at the fair.
I'm literally covered in chocolate from the chocolate cookies.
If
anyone out there has a wet nap, I would gladly trade a wet nap for some cookies if you have one.
Got a little bucket right
stop
here.
By.
Our whole thing is there's sinks over there.
Okay, so I'm going to sit out the last segment and go take a shower. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to WCCO live at the Minnesota State Fair. You have a wet nap. Thank you. Welcome back, WCCO Radio, Minnesota State Fair. How's everybody doing? Everybody feeling pretty good?
You guys look great.
Lots of Gopher fans.
Thanks a lot.
You know,
this is
usually the time where usually we talk about, I don't know, talk about what we're going to eat at the State Fair next year. And it's kind of open. So I wanted to – does anyone have questions? Do you have questions for – whoops, that was the time. We'll figure it out. You can just tell me in my ear. Anyone have questions for us, for Pete, for me? Any Gopher questions? Anybody want to go through the schedule and predict wins, losses?
I love that whole routine. That's always fun.
Any questions? Just yell them out. Anybody?
It's a quiet crowd.
Going twice?
That's all right.
Sold. What was the – you're so up on college football every Saturday. What was one game that you saw or one score that you saw that you went, holy cow, I did not see that one coming?
I think that there was a couple of them. Texas, of course, is a team that has more quarterbacks than most, you know, of the entire conference. They do have a lot of money. It's amazing. Those guys are outstanding. That is a great program. Sarkisian's done a great job. They're fun to watch. I think there's a lot of different teams out there that we get the opportunity to see more and more of this. And it's also just the whole shifting of the Big 12. The SEC, and all the movement that we're seeing that I think is pretty exciting. We've got a big one with LSU coming. That's going to be a fun one
Are you buying – Charlie and I were texting about this the other night because I'm like, okay, Colorado, like, they beat up on North Dakota.
Oh, yeah, let's
they didn't
talk
even beat
about
up on North Dakota State. They barely won.
They barely won.
On North Dakota State. they look good. I'm like, against North Dakota State.
Yeah.
But I just – once again, I'm not super impressed. I think they should have beaten them by more than that if they're a legitimate Big 12 team.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they are.
It's going to happen again this year, just like last year. Last year, remember, they won their first three games.
It's like three or four, right?
They won one more game after that.
They're winning the Big 12.
Everybody was on the bandwagon. Yeah. Everybody was telling us how great they are. And then, you know what? They fell apart.
They came back down to earth.
I think that's the same team this year.
Oh, so many Fairweather fans, though, buying the gear.
Listen.
The Dion effect is real. Just don't ask him any questions he doesn't like.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up next hour.
Unreal.
Hour number two coming at you. We're live at the Minnesota State Fair. You're listening to The Huddle.